Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Let's turn our Bibles tonight to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and we're going to continue in our teaching on the subject of prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, we've hit all kinds of things. We've talked about praying for the lost, how to pray effectively for the lost. We've talked about intercession, yielding to the Spirit of God, making intercession for those that are lost. We talked about praying for those in authority, and we hit that on a Sunday morning. We talked about last time about the prayer of consecration, which is a prayer of surrender, surrendering our will to the will of God, surrendering our lives to the plan of God. It's what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane right before going to the cross. And he prayed that prayer three times, not my will, Father, but your will be done. That's a great way to get through trials and tests in life. Jesus is our example, coming before the Father and surrendering our will, surrendering our lives to his plan. And as we talked about, you can't put, if it be thy will, at the end of every prayer you pray. Because there's all different kinds of prayers that we are to pray. We see that here in Ephesians, the sixth chapter and verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful. There's that being watchful. See? See, a person that is a praying person is a watchful person. A praying person is a watchful person. He says, be watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Notice that, praying always with all prayer. Another translation says all kinds of prayer. There's different kinds of prayers. And not every prayer is a prayer of consecration. Not every prayer, in other words, should have an if in it. If it be thy will. Well, if, Lord, you know, we ask you to heal our body, if it be your will. Well, now, see, that would be a prayer of unbelief, not a prayer of consecration. And prayers of unbelief don't get answered. You don't want to say, if it be thy will, when you can know his will concerning these things. We looked at over in 1 John chapter 5, and in verse 13, it says this, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know that you have healing, that you may know that you have all your needs met according to God's riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because that's what the Bible says. See, God's given us his word. These things have been written to us so that you may know. When you say, if it be, that means you do not know. If it be thy will. Well, there's some things we need to know that it's God's will. There's a lot of things we can know whether it's God's will or not. Just by getting to know the word of God. Getting to know what is written. He goes on in verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, or we could say according to his word, for one, because the written word is the will of God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. So if we know we're asking according to his will or according to his word, then we know we have what we've asked him for. There's no if it be. If you put an if in there, then you do not know and you don't have confidence. But this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we've asked of him. There's no if it be. No if it be. This is the confidence that we have. So there's a confidence we can have in prayer. The more we pray, the more confident we should be becoming. People that pray are confident people. People that pray are confident. They're not these little timid people that don't know what's going on. If it be. No, these are folks that know, praise God, they know what the will of the Lord is. They seek God. They find out his will, and they pray with confidence. Amen. They pray with confidence. Praise God forever. Now, let's look at a couple more scriptures with if it be thy will in it. Notice over in James chapter 4. Now, prayer is very important. Because really, your life in this world will be no better than your prayer life. Think about that. If people knew that, they would take prayer a whole lot more serious. Your life will never be better than your prayer life. You'll never go beyond your prayer life. Remember over in James, he talks about the double-minded person. In fact, I'm going to hit that first here in James chapter 1, talking about asking in verse 6. He says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, no ifs. No ifs, if it be's, if it be thy will. No ifs. You see, if it's an if I be thy will, then you're doubting. He says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. See, that's faith. No doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in what? All his life. So here he's talking about asking, which is talking about praying. And so if we're double-minded when it comes to praying, if we're unstable prayers, inconsistent, up and down, double-minded prayers, then we'll be unstable in all our ways. See, it affects our entire life. So that's why your life will never be better than your prayer life. You've got to become confident and stable before God. Because let's face it, he's the source of life. And your faith in him, your prayer life, is your connection to him. So you get disconnected from him or feel disconnected from him and uncertain and unsure about God and what his will is and what begins to happen. You become unstable in everything you do in life. And a lot of people begin to replace their confidence in God with a thing called pride. And so they strengthen and encourage themselves in pride, which is self-confidence. They make themselves self-confident. We can do this. I know this is right. No, I know this is. And they sound like, it sounds like there's no doubting. It sounds like they are just people of faith, right? No wavering, no doubting. And yet it's built on self-confidence. It's not built on the assurance of knowing that you and God are connected and you're walking in line with his plan for your life. See? So a lot of people confuse that. So if we don't have confidence in prayer, then we'll begin to yield to pride. We'll replace that confidence with pride. Because nobody wants to walk around fearful and insecure and double-minded and unsure, right? Nobody wants to walk around with no confidence. So to fix that, there's one of two things we can do to fix the lack of confidence. We can pray and pray through. Pray until. That'd be a good thing to preach on, praying through. What does that mean, praying through? Praise God. Remind me of that. We'll have to do that sometime in this series, hopefully. But we can either pray through to the place of confidence, or we can just build ourselves up in the flesh and make ourselves self-confident. And that's what most people do. Yea, even Christians. But let that not be us. Let our confidence be built on our relationship with God, our prayer life with him, which is a prayer life built on the Word of God. Built on the Word of God. Can you say amen? So let's go over here now to James 4. Let's look at some more prayers of consecration or where the if it be thy will fits in. We saw it with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if there's any possible way that this cup could pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So he had some ideas of what he would like to see happen. He had a plan. Let's do it this way. Let this cup pass for me. I really like this plan. But nevertheless, not my plan, but your plan be done. Your will be done. All right? So he had some ideas, he had some plans, but then he submitted them to the plan of God and said, but we ultimately want your plan. You know, sometimes you'll come to God and you can submit a plan to him. I mean, isn't that what Jesus is doing here? He's coming, if there's any possible way that this cup could pass from me, right? If there's any other way than that, I know this one. I've been talking about it my whole life. About this going to the cross and suffering. I know that plan. But if there's any... See, he's still offering up suggestions to God. You know, you can offer suggestions to God. You can bring suggestions to him. And you know what? Sometimes he might say, that's fine. Let's go with that then. Now, you got to watch about pushing your will, because we talked about that too. How Israel pushed for a king. And they got themselves a king. God gave them what they wanted, but it wasn't God's best. I want God's best. So I'm not going to come in there and push my... You can see Jesus, he's not pushing another plan. But he's offering up another plan. Another way, if possible. Nevertheless, he's quick. Nevertheless, not my will. He's not pushing his plan. Children of Israel, they pushed. No, we want a king. No, we want a king. And then the prophet Samuel stood up by the word of the Lord and told them all the evil things that will happen because they have a king. They said, that's just fine, but we want a king. All right, well, they got themselves a king. And God blessed them as far as he could take them. He blessed them as much as he could, because that's what he does. He's in the blessing business. But they limited God's blessing in their life because they chose an inferior plan than the ultimate plan that God had for them. But there's been plenty of times I've suggested things to God, and I got a green light on it to go. It's a good idea. The Apostle Paul over in the book of Acts, you know, he was instructed by God to go to certain places, but then there were some places he prayed about it and stayed in the Spirit, and then he just went off, you know, to different places and, you know, to go preach the gospel, different countries to go preach. And one day came where he had purposed in his heart to go to Asia. He was going to go up there and evangelize that territory. And as he was planning to go, the Spirit forbade him from going. He had a check. So then he tried another, and the Spirit stopped him again. And then he had a vision. And he saw somebody from Macedonia waving their hand and say, come over here and help us. And when he woke up, He realized that's where God wanted him to go. But notice, he was going. He wasn't waiting for God to speak everything to him. He had some plans. He had laid some things out. But he planned his day. He planned his itinerary prayerfully. I said he planned his itinerary prayerfully. You got to plan your day prayerfully. You just don't make plans. And just, this is what I'm gonna go here, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do that. No, you gotta plan prayerfully. Bring God in it. Be sensitive to him. And be ready for him to go, no. We're not doing that today. Lord, I've been doing that. That's fine, you ain't doing it now. Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. And we're sensitive to him because we have a prayer life. We have a prayer life. We spend time with God. You spend time with God, you become sensitive to God. Become easy to be led by God. People have difficulty being led by God because people don't consistently spend time with God. And they spend their life double-minded and unstable. And a lot of it in pride. Walking around looking like faith when it's just self-confidence. But if we just get in the groove of being a prayer... We are prayers. That's what we are, watchmen. That's who we are. We watch and pray. And as we do that, we're sensitive to what God wants us to do. We're sensitive to his will. We're always involving him in what we're doing. We sit down, we put our day timer together. You got to put your day timer together. You got to establish a budget. Now, we don't limit God to the budget, but you need to know how much money's coming in, how much money's going out. You need to be able to plan your day. You know, it's amazing. Many times when I'm praying, that's when God starts organizing my day, my week, my month, my year. I'll just be sitting there praying, and I could be praying in tongues. I could be in the middle of reading the Bible. I could be just praying about something, and in my mind, all of a sudden, this thought will come. Now, make sure you call Charlie. I think, oh, I got to call Charlie. Well, I've learned what to do. I write it down immediately because I got that in the spirit. And the moment I get away from that, maybe get a little bit more in the natural, I'll immediately forget about that. Even though it's as loud as a trumpet blowing in my mind, you know what I'm saying? Yet I know I got to write it down. I've learned that. There's been many times I said, Lord, please forgive me. I didn't write it down. Just say it to me again. Say it to me again. I can't. I mean, I know you said it to me 30 seconds ago. I just can't recall it. What is it? So I've learned, write it down. So you write it down. So next I write down Charlie, okay. And then I start to pray. And then, and next thing I know, it just starts flowing. And I realize he's organizing me. He's organizing my thoughts. Well, see, that helps clear your mind. You know, it's hard to find stuff in a junk drawer that's a mess. If you got a junk drawer that's a mess, you open the thing up, say, it's just everything gets thrown in that drawer, you know, because you don't want it on the counter, so everything just goes in the drawer. That's a mess. Actually, our junk drawer is very—it's very nice. I just wanted to mention that to you. I was looking for a rubber band, and I knew immediately there was no rubber bands in there, because everything, tacks and everything was so nice and neat. Praise the Lord! I just saw that today, actually. Anyway, a little compliment there. Praise the Lord! She keeps even the junk drawer organized. It's very nice. You got to keep. You don't want your mind to be like that, though, huh? Trying to figure out, trying to recall things to your mind, trying to remember things. It's like a junk drawer up there. So God will help you go through the thing and sort the stuff. He'll get stuff sorted out and he'll help you write it down. If you spend that time with him, God's very practical. Praying isn't always twirling around, you know, in some psychedelic la-la land, you know. God is very practical. I say he's very practical. Prayer can be very practical. God will give you some very practical things in life. He's trying to help organize you. But you want to spend time with him. Help him. Lord, help me to organize my day. Help me to remember appointments and put things down and just get everything together. He'll do that. He's practical that way. But you're connecting with him. You're checking with him. You're spending that time with him. You're waiting on him, watching for him. And that's why the Bible says over in James, with all that in mind, see, now we come to James, and it says in chapter 4, in verse 13, come now, you who say, today and tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. And you need to invest in the business. Whereas you do not know, this is God's response, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Sounds like God's trying to humble somebody. Get them the right perspective. Hey, big shot. You're going to go here and there, and you're going to make yourself a prophet, and you're going to do all these things. Let me tell you something, friend. You're a vapor. See, the guy's so inflated with himself. God's trying to bring some light. You're a vapor. You're here for a little while, and then you're no more. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Instead, verse 15, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, if it be thy will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So it's evil and it's sin to be walking around prayerless and in charge of your life. Being unsubmitted to the plan of God. That's arrogant, it's evil, it's sin. And you can see just here, if you just read it, you could just pick up how God feels about it. It's disgusting to him. Right? So we don't want to ever be guilty of that. So we come before him, and Lord, if it be your will, we'll live. What do you mean? In other words, my life is in your hands. Well, of course God wants you to live. Well, he might want you to lay your life down. Maybe he'll have you go on a missions trip, and he'll have you go lay your life down to go rescue some people. Maybe it'll take some spiritual marines that hit the beach on the front lines, attack the enemy for. There's going to be casualties, right? On doomsday, World War II, D-Day. They knew there were going to be casualties. They didn't sit there, we're going to hit this beach. We're not going to lose a man. We're not going to lose a man. We're just going to hit this beach, and we're going to take over the enemy. No. They were going to take over the territory, but they knew we're going to lose a lot of lives doing this. There's people that are going to die. And yet that was the plan. The commanders, those in charge, they planned this. People are going to die, but we've got to get that territory. Well, it's the same way spiritually. Same way in the kingdom of God. Sometimes there's some Christians that are called to hit the beach. And it's like, now you're going to suffer. And some of you are going to go to prison. Some of you are going to get killed. You're going to be martyred. But be of good cheer. Be courageous. Because there's great rewards for you on the other side for laying your life down for me like that. And they go out there and they leave everything and they lay their life down. God might call you to do that tomorrow. We got to be ready. See, not my will, but your will be done. Now, we're not talking about dying of a sickness. We're not talking about dying of a car wreck. We're not talking dying of some kind of tragedy, some kind of work of the devil, some kind of curse. No, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. We're not going to die as victims. We're going to die as warriors in the kingdom of God. And if we're going to go out, we're going to go out in a blaze of glory. Amen. With high honors. Not going to be victimized. Nobody takes our life from us. We will lay it down like our master did and all the disciples that walked with him. They laid their lives down as a sacrifice to reach more people. So our lives are his. And you know what? That's something you got to offer up all the time, because we live in a world that loves its life in this world. We live in that kind of atmosphere where you want to save your life, you want to hang on to your life, you want to protect your life, you want to love your life. And we got to watch, you know. We hear about the promises of God of long life and prosperity, and Jesus became poor that you might be made rich, and he has good things for you. He's got a promised land for you to possess, and we recognize all these things. But friend, if we're hearing all these things and we're embracing all these things and we're prayerless and we're not praying the prayer of consecration to him, then that will just help ruin us. Help seal our fate so that we fall short of everything God has for us, living for ourselves, walking in pride. Pride always goes before a fall. So we don't want to walk in pride. We don't want to walk in that arrogance. So we claim the promises of God, but everything's very humble. It's all yours. It's all for your glory. It's all for your honor. My life belongs to you. Lord, this is what we're going to do. But if it's not what you want, now, you got all the rights to correct me and readjust me and show me if there's a different way you want me to go here. And that's how we live our life. And that is a safe place to live. That's a wonderful place to live. That's a place of confidence. You'll come out of that kind of praying confident by laying your life down, by surrendering yourself to him and saying, if the Lord wills, if the Lord wills. We'll do this, we'll do this, we'll go there, we'll do that. Now, if the Lord tells you, like he told me, he said, go apostle a church in Louisville, Kentucky. That's what he told me to do. Go start a church in Louisville, Kentucky. That's what he told me. I don't have to sit there and go, Lord, if it be your will, I'm going to start a church. I know it's his will. He told me. So there's things that we know his will. We know his will. I've gotten married. I don't have to sit there and wonder about it and say, Lord, do you still want me to be married to her today? If it be your will, I'll stay married to her today. No. We know his will from his word, right? That's a vow that you do not violate. That's a vow that remains until the end. So you know, there's a lot of things we know his will. We don't have to say if it be thy will because we know his word. But then there's daily things that go on in our life, decisions that we make. We want God involved in it. We want God, because we don't have a word of the Lord concerning everything that we do in life. So that's why we always want to be prayerful. Amen? Not careful, prayerful. See, a person that's careful is full of cares. We're not to be full of cares. We're to be prayerful. That's a person that's full of prayer. So, you know, instead of saying to somebody, be careful as a departure, and you know, saying as you depart from, be careful. No, you can say, be prayerful or be watchful. That's what we are. We're watchful. We're prayers and we're watchful. Be watchful. Be vigilant. Be on it spiritually. Be in tune with God as you go. Don't just go. Go with God. Hallelujah. Pray. Talk to him on the way so that you know that he's with you and you haven't left him. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19, the Apostle Paul, in putting his itinerary together, says, 1 Corinthians 4:19, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up or in pride, but the power. So he's letting them know, I'm putting you guys on my itinerary. I'll be coming to you shortly, if the Lord wills. Now that could change, but that's my plan. My plan is to come to you, but in my planning, I'm praying. So if the Lord changes that plan, redirects me, I'm going to follow him. So that's praying, the prayer of consecration. And then, of course, we talk about the prayer of faith. I don't know if I called it that or not, but the prayer of faith is what we've already looked at. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. If we pray, ask anything according to his will, he hears us. But another great scripture along those lines is Mark 16. Let's go there. Mark, the 16th chapter. Again, this is another prayer that there's no ifs in it. If you put an if in it, you're not in faith. It's not the prayer of faith anymore. Mark chapter 11, not Mark 16. Mark the 11th chapter. And in verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now he's talking about faith. We know what he's talking about here. And then he says this. He goes right into talking about prayer. Faith and prayer. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt. See again, there it is. See, whenever we're talking about faith, we're talking about not doubting. No ifs. No if it be thy wills. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you're asking for something in faith, believing you receive it when you pray, and you will have it. So there's a difference between receiving and having. Right? We receive with our heart and then we'll have it with our hands. But before you could have it in your hands, you got to already have received it from God in your heart. My heart's already got, I got it. I've asked according to his will. This is the confidence that I have. I believe I receive it in Jesus' name. So it's already been received. So if you've already received it, then what about going out and praying about it again when you don't have it? Now you go out and you look and it's not in your hand yet. You don't have it. You don't see it. It hasn't appeared anywhere. What do you do? I guess I never received it. See, there's a difference in receiving and having. Just because you don't have it, it doesn't mean you didn't receive it. Just like I remember one time I ordered some things online. And I put this order in. I thought, this is fantastic. So I got the order in. And next thing you know, a week went by, 2 weeks went by. I'm like, was this a scam? I'm sitting there, I'm looking. I sent an email in there. They responded back, so I knew somebody was alive out there. They said, oh, no, it's coming. Relax. And then I realized it was in China. I had ordered this thing from China. It's coming all the way from China. So, I mean, it was like over a month before it arrived. And then all of it didn't arrive. A piece of it arrived. So I'm like, it's not all here yet. Well, we sent it all out. It'll come. It'll come. Relax. So I waited a little bit longer, and another week went by, and the other part of it came. It came in like three different pieces, all the way from China. It took a long time. It took a long time, but you know what? I had received it. I had put my order in, and I paid for it, and it was finished. It was done. And I didn't have it for the longest time after that. And so I started doubting whether or not I was really ever going to get it. See, I was doubting I was ever going to really have it, because I was dealing with China. I wasn't dealing with Jesus. I wasn't dealing with heaven. Are you hearing me? So sometimes things get shipped from heaven. It takes a little while. Sometimes it comes, and you know, there's an angel that picks it up over here and comes flying in and has to deliver it to another angel, and the other angel's got to deliver it to another angel. I mean, it just depends what it is. You just don't know what's going on in the spirit. There's a lot of business, a lot of transactions taking place, especially at Christmas time. Everybody's putting their orders in. People actually go to church at Christmas time that never go to church. Prayers are really running high around Christmas time, so start praying now. Get your orders in now. Just telling you, heaven's about to get very busy. Amen. But you never know what's going on in the spirit. But we know we got it. Hallelujah. I put my order in, and I know heaven took it. I know heaven took it. I know they received my order. So therefore, I have received this request, and I will have it. Heaven will not disappoint me. I will have it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You can just shout and rejoice as though you already do. Woo! Hallelujah. I received my blessing, and it's mine. But that's the prayer of faith, total confidence. When you don't have it yet, you know you received it, you believe it, you stay in faith concerning it. And there's no doubt and there's no questioning. That's praying the prayer of faith. But that's not the prayer of consecration. But friend, you see how you need to have both? You need to have both. Because if you don't have the prayer of consecration, and you just have the prayer of faith, and all you know about is the prayer of faith, and you're this great faith person that prays the prayer of faith all the time and stands in faith believing all the time, but you don't have this prayer of consecration of if it be thy will and this surrendering to God, then it's very easy to just get over into arrogance and miss the whole thing. And that's where a lot of people have been. You know, generally speaking, you know, in the body of Christ, that people that have come to understand faith, they didn't maintain the prayer of consecration. They mock anything that sounds like, if it be thy will. It's not an if. You don't put an if. Well, you do put an if when it comes to consecration. But see, they just threw if out. And there's no surrendering of their life to God, which is the foundation to be able to receive from him. You got to have them both. One seems so weak and uninformed. If it be thy will. And the other is so strong in confidence. I believe I got it. It's mine. Woo, in Jesus' name. See? One seems so weak. One seems so strong. And it's kind of like this. If you have consecration without the prayer of faith, if everything is, if it's your will, if it's your will, if it's your will. If you're just over here, if it be, if you're just over in that place, then you're in a place of weakness and you can't receive from God. And if you're over in this place where I believe I receive it, but there's no if it be thy will and surrendering of your life to him, then you're going to be over here in arrogance, puffed up, and you're going to be missing it. So we got to have them both. They complement each other. You got to have them both. Got to have them both, and you got to have them all the time. This is how we live. This is a daily thing. It's consecration. And there's the prayer of faith. There's consecration. There's the prayer of faith. Now, another type of prayer, another kind of praying, that's very close to the prayer of consecration is the prayer of praise and worship. Praise and worship is not about receiving from God, but God receiving from you. Receiving your praise, receiving your worship. It's ministering to Him. Over in Acts chapter 13, we see an example of this, where the disciples had come together, actually some teachers and prophets. And notice what it says here, Acts 13 and verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. And it mentions Barnabas here and also Saul, as well as some other teachers and prophets. It starts with Barnabas, ends with Saul. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So it's very interesting. Like I said, it's very close to the prayer of consecration, because when you pray in the prayer of consecration, you know, you're surrendering your life to the Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. But here, they're ministering to Him. Consecration is a form of ministering to the Lord, but praising Him, worshiping Him, thinking about blessing Him is not something that a whole lot of Christians do very much. And yet we need to. We need to minister. Notice they take time and they were just ministering to Him. Think about that. You can minister to the Lord. We need to take time to do that. Very important part of our Christian walk. And notice, it was as they were ministering to the Lord, which probably the prayer of consecration was in there. They're surrendering their lives to Him. The Lord spoke to them and gave them further direction of what He had for them to do. The will of God became clear. But they weren't seeking Him for His will. It didn't say, and we set to seek God to know what phase of ministry we were supposed to enter into, or what we were to do next. They weren't doing that. They weren't seeking Him for that. They were just seeking Him for Him. They were just worshiping Him. They were just loving Him and honoring Him, blessing Him. Praise and worship blesses God. Now this is, I'm telling you, in this, it sounds really simple, but the truth of the matter is, this generation especially, they don't think like that at all in the church world. Praise and worship is about me. I like that song. That song, I don't like that song. I don't like their praise and worship. I don't care what you like. I'm not praising and worshiping you. We're not praising and worshiping you. Oh, I can't go to that church. They don't have praise and worship. See, people got this thing twisted in their heads. They think it's for them. They think it's a rock concert. They think it's some kind of form of entertainment. It's a time to come in and you feel something. It's an experience that you have. Oh, I had a wonderful experience. I had this wonderful time in praise and worship. Well, it's not about you having a wonderful time. It's all for Him. It's all for the Lord. Hello, somebody. It's all for Him. It's all for the Lord. It is not for you. That's why one time I came to the Lord. You know, church was fairly new, you know, and we didn't have musicians at the time. And that was by the Lord's leading. And so, you know, it was a Wednesday night service, I remember, and it just seemed so dry, the service. It just seemed so dry. So the next day, I was a little, you know, frustrated. I went to the Lord about it. I said, Lord, I thought I knew what the answer was. I knew what the answer was to the dry service. I said, Lord, we need a praise and worship team to stir up the people. And I mean like that, this thought came right back at me. It was not my thought. My thought is, I know what we need. We need a praise and worship team to stir up the people. Get everybody stirred up. So then, you know, help the preaching. Help the ministering to the people. We need to stir them up. Now, that's what my mindset was. I said, Lord, we need a praise and worship team to stir up the people. And immediately, this came right back at me. Praise and worship isn't to stir up the people, but is the result of a stirred people. I ran over and wrote it down. I mean, because that was not my thought. That was revelation to me. Praise and worship is not to stir up the people, but is the result of a stirred people. In other words, it's the result of faith. People got faith and they come and they praise and worship him. They're not looking for an experience. So we went several more years without having musicians up here. Because that's the way the Lord liked it. That's the way he wanted it. And you know what? It was great. We still had church. And then from that point on, I understood we didn't need music. We just needed faith. We got a faith problem tonight. See? So then we just deal with the faithlessness. Rather than saying, sing another song, Jerry. No, instead of saying, sing another song, I'd say, open your Bibles, congregation. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. So praise and worship is to stir up the people. It's to minister to him. Say praise and worship is to minister to God. It's not for me. It's for him. Yeah. Now musicians can help us do that. But the focus is him. It's all for him. It's not for us. We just want to worship him more and more and more. So they were ministering to the Lord. I like over in Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. And in verse 25, after Paul and Silas had been thrown in prison, after being beaten, verse 25 says, but at midnight, the darkest hour of their life, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Don't you love that? Notice, they were singing hymns to the prisoners to make everybody feel better about themselves. Oh, everybody's hurting. Let's sing another song and minister to the people. No. Notice they were singing to God and the prisoners heard it. Praise God. You just get to hear people praising and worshiping God. Don't think that's them ministering to you. You just get to hear it. You're just overhearing it. But it's not for you. It's to God. So I believe they prayed some prayers of faith. It says they prayed, number one, they were praying and singing hymns to God. So I believe they were asking for some things and they were ministering to him. They were giving him some things. They were asking and receiving some things for him, like deliverance, like no weapon formed against us will prosper. We know the plan of God for our life. No weapon formed against us will prosper. God is our deliverer. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We're coming out of this thing. We'll live and not die. We're going to declare the works of the Lord. I believe they were making some faith proclamations. They were praying. They were saying. And they were singing. See, you put the two together. Oh, my. And something begins to happen. Something begins to happen. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, verse 26. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Wow. How many want to see that kind of deliverance? Well, you got to have the 1-2 punch. You got to have the balance. I said you got to have the balance. You got to be a good receiver of the deliverance of God, but you also got to be a good lay your life down worshiper of God. Good at ministering to him. In other words, they were in that situation, very dark situation, but they weren't all introverted, consumed with themselves. They were ministering to him. They were worshiping him, loving him, thinking about him, thinking about him. Oh, Father, it's all right. It's all right. Man, we're just glad to do it for your glory. Oh, we just love you, Father. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so good to us. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to worry about these stripes on our back, Lord. It's an honor to serve you. It's an honor to worship you. Because you know God cares about you. He doesn't want to see you in pain. He doesn't want to see you hurting. And so they're sensitive to him. Rather than just going, God, don't you care?
Guy hit me right in the eye. Don't you care? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I will live and not die. See what I'm saying? And it's a whiny thing. It's a selfish thing. That's where a lot of people pray. And you said in your word, I'm claiming the promise of God. This is not going to go down this way in the name of Jesus. It just gets worse and worse. It's where a lot of people are. Whiny prayers. Whiny prayers. Sounds like faith, but there's something missing. It's called the humility of surrender and worship and loving God, caring about him, honoring him. Can you say amen? Luke chapter 24 says they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Continually, everybody say continually. They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Wow. Everybody say continuously. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Can you be thankful for something all the time? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You're so good to me. Glory be to God. And then we saw over in 2 Chronicles, we could see over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat, he had this enemy army coming against him. They were outnumbered. And God said, listen, you don't have to fight in this battle. Just go out and begin to send the worship team out there and just sing praises to me. You just think about me. Don't think about the enemy. You just think about me. Think about my goodness and what I've done for you. Just love on me, worship me. Don't fear them, fear me. Mm-hmm. Let me be the big deal in your life, not this enemy horde that's coming against you. Yeah. See, people go, look at all these things that are coming against me. And they build all these things up rather than coming over here. And then they try to use their faith against it. Rather than come over here and just lifting God up, praising God and realizing nothing's too big for you. Hallelujah, you're the great I am. So the praise and worship team got out there and they got to going and they got to praising him and thinking about him and they got to ministering to him and loving on him and thinking about him and they forgot about the enemy. And next thing you know, these angels went out there and killed and slaughtered all these enemy armies that were coming out against them. Lord took care of the whole thing. Praise God forever. As we begin to magnify and praise him, get lost in him, it takes care of so many demonic things. It just takes care of so many problems. But now we're not praising him to take care of the problem. Now if you'll just praise him, the problems will go. So let's praise him and make the problems go. Ready? Let's go. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him. So we're looking at him, and then we're looking to see if the problem went. We're looking at him, seeing if the problem went. Look at him, see what the problem went. Saying it's selfish. You're just doing it. You're doing it like you're trying to work this thing. You're trying to work it. If I praise him, the problems will go. If I praise him, the problems will go. It's still about your problems going. It's not about praising him because, wow, he's so good. And his mercy endures forever. See? Forget about the problems and just get hooked up with him. And yes, the problems do go. That's one way. That's one way the enemy is taken care of. Praise and worship God. Lift him up above everything else. Minister to him. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.